Mr. Morgan, would you give your indication, please, sir, next?
Please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed on this community, and we pray tonight for your guidance, that our decisions will always be for the greater good of our community. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started tonight, I'd like to ask Dr. Missy Currier with Strategies 360 to provide a short update on the legislative session. You all know that your state session ended last week. There was some good news and some not so good news. The situation would have been a lot worse if it hadn't been for Dr. Currier and members of this group. They did an outstanding job working with us and with members of our legislative delegation throughout the session. As I think Dr. Currier will tell you, the fact that the session is over doesn't mean our work is done. We've got a lot of work ahead of us to do what is best for Carlsbad. Dr. Currier?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. I appreciate being here this evening, and it's very glad to be back in Carlsbad and away from Santa Fe. I have the tendency to make a long story long, so I promise that I'm going to find a way to keep this short tonight as we talk about destination sourcing, not only from the issues that are impacting us on the destination sourcing side, but also the other legislation that will continue to affect us and could have affected us as we move forward. First and foremost, I would like to thank the city staff, especially for all the work that they did with me throughout the legislative session, working with John Lowe, Angie, Melissa, so many others that have been so impactful on making all of this work, and couldn't have done it without the support of the staff. So thank you very much for that, Mr. Mayor, and thank you for allowing me to have access to them when they have a million other things on their plate. As you guys know, one of the most difficult things about the legislative session this year was the issue of destination sourcing. In 2019, HB 6 was passed, which came with a lot of good things. A lot of the good things in there included additional road funding for southeastern New Mexico, opportunities for us to collect tax off of internet sales. So for example, if I buy something off of Amazon and I'm located in the city of Carlsbad, the city is now going to make money off of the Amazon purchase. And prior to this ruling, we were not getting that tax. One of the unfortunate things about destination sourcing was a shift away from origin-based sourcing to destination-based sourcing. So let's pretend that I have an oil field service company. We're going to call it Courier Service Company, and I'm located in the city of Carlsbad. Prior to HB 6 taking effect, no matter where I ran my services, because my business was located within the city of Carlsbad made that GRT money. Now, with destination-based sourcing, if I'm doing work, if my business is located in Carlsbad, but I, for example, go out and do something close to WIP, which is in the county, that means that the county's now going to make a little bit of money, the state's going to make a whole lot of that GRT, and Carlsbad's not going to get anything off of it. Because of the base of our funding sources, which is primarily service-based, communities like Carlsbad, Hobbs, Jowl, Eunice, Silver City, Aztec, and others that are very service friendly are losing millions of dollars in GRT, and we anticipate that continuing to go forward. So going into this legislative session, we have done a lot of work in the interim trying to get people to understand the concerns around HB 6, why we need to make changes to the current law, and why communities like ours will be so hard hit because of the destination sourcing changes. So with that in mind, we had very much an uphill battle for two reasons. The first reason being that this is a hard issue and quite frankly, taxes are messy. The second reason being is people didn't fully understand the amount of impact that would have on these communities. As we've worked with Angie and Casey and Melissa, and when Wendy was still here, and when we worked with the city of Hobbs, they did a phenomenal job of running numbers to show the impacts to the community. But when we would take that to the legislature, they'd say, well, rig counts are up. Y'all should be making plenty of money. Rig counts matter. It's not a correlation in this particular situation. So we had a lot of education that we had to go through. Because we have really great leadership through many members like Senator Gay Kernan. Senator Kernan, Catherine Brown, many others worked with us trying to find a solution of how we could fix the situation in this legislative session. Senator Kernan ran two bills, and one of those bills would have been an oil and gas carve-out that would have taken out all of our oil and gas service companies and returned them to the way the taxing system worked prior to destination sourcing going into place. Unfortunately, that bill didn't catch any traction, not because it was quote-unquote an oil and gas bill, but because the sponsors of the original bill said we need more time to figure this issue out, and if we open the floodgates to start carving things out, then how are we going to know where the true baseline is? So while that bill didn't catch any traction, we have another bill, Senate Bill 137, that would have allowed us to have additional data to better understand the transparency of our tax system, as well as provide a safety net, creating $50 million that would be returned to communities as Melissa and others could prove that we continue to lose money during that quarter. $50 million wasn't near enough, but it would have been something. At one point, that $50 million was stripped, and $10 million was put into the proposed budget. Quite frankly, and no disrespect to our friends up north, $10 million is a little bit of a slap in the face. But, I mean, if somebody's going to hand me $10 million, I'll take it. With that in mind, the bill made it pretty far into the process. Thank you to the leadership of Senator Kernan and others that worked with her on this. We made it through the Senate side. When we went to the House side, Representative Harper, Jason Harper out of the Albuquerque area, who was one of the original sponsors of HB 6 in 2019, he said, we need to make these changes to your bill. I want to strip out the data reporting. We've already got all the information that we need. If you don't take this amendment, then I'm going to kill your bill. And so what we said is, okay, cool, we'll take the amendment. Please don't kill our bill. And once we got to the House floor, then unfortunately politics started playing a role. As many of you know, when you get to the end of the legislative session, there's a whole lot of bills that need to move. And the only way to slow down the process, if you're in the minority party, is to make the clock run. We call it churn and burn. And when they're churning and burning, that means that we're running out of time on the clock. And when you're running out of time on the clock, that means that a lot of good legislation, like our bill, will die at the very end. It literally came down to the last 10 minutes of the session to see if our bill would be heard. I would be lying to you, and it might have had something to do with lack of sleep, but I would be lying to you if I did not admit the fact that I cried a little at the end of this because it was a very hard-fought battle. Mayor Janway, Mayor Cobb, and Hobbs, they put their heart and soul into this, and it's something that I told Mayor Janway that, yes, we lost this battle, but we certainly have not lost the war. So as we move forward into what this war will look like, we're now going to go into the interim, and in the interim, we'll continue to educate members, we'll continue to meet with interim committees to say, here's our problem, we need to figure out a way to fix it. And yes, it would have been nice to have the $10 million, the $50 million, but as a much more seasoned lobbyist once told me, is you want to make people feel as if they owe you something. If we would have gotten that $10 million or that $50 million, they might have said, hey, you know, you'll be all right for the next 2 years, which is what that safety gap would have accounted for. But now we're going to go into this interim saying, not only do you owe us, but you owe us big. So if you ask me in a minute, well, Missy, what do you plan to do? My answer is, we don't know yet. We're still coming up with that plan because there's a lot of things that have to change in the coming months and a lot of equations that will have to fall into place. So the end goal is to fix it. How we're going to fix it, we're not there yet. But as you know, you have a wonderful staff and wonderful leadership amongst all of you to help us figure out where that's going to be. So I would anticipate, other than updates from Mayor and John and others, I will be back soon to keep you updated on what we're doing. With that in mind, we took Senate Bill 137 clear on the chin, that's for sure. But there was a lot of things that definitely happened in the legislative session that is good news. For example, the whole tech bills died, so that project is still very much on the table. That was a huge win. I did not know, quite frankly, if the whole tech bills would die. So I think we're in really good shape there, that the project can continue and that we can continue those conversations. There's some really good police funding that came out of this. One of my favorite pieces of this information is that in New Mexico, we increased the death benefit for a fallen police officer from $250,000 to $1 million. That's the highest in the nation. I think we can be very proud of that. $1 million obviously doesn't account for their lives, but it's a heck of a lot more than $250,000. We also have increased funding for law enforcement agencies. We have increased funding to ensure retention and recruitment of law enforcement agencies can continue. We have record numbers of capital outlay. The capital outlay comes in part in a lot because of the great workers throughout Eddy and Lee counties. We had a record budget this year of $8.5 billion. That's a lot of money to spend, and a lot of that, of course, coming from southeastern New Mexico. So we can continue to commend the industries in this area for creating that type of budget windfall. With the capital outlay, we certainly always want more money, but we're grateful for the money that was contributed to us. The governor still has some money to give out, so our fingers and toes are crossed that we'll continue to be on the list when those dollar allocations are given out. Finally, on the environmental side, one of the things that we do like to point out was that there was no major environmental bills that were passed this session that would affect the industries in southeastern New Mexico that not only drive our area, but ultimately drive the state. The Clean Fuel Standard passed at 3:30 in the morning last Wednesday on a tie vote. And if it ties, it dies on the floor. So that's good news. That could have really driven up our prices. The Clean Future Act was also failed to be heard. That could have been devastating to municipalities throughout the state because of the numbers that you guys would have had to have created to make business work in those situations. And one of the most exciting ones that died was the Green Amendment. With the Green Amendment, it could be as big as an activist suing a company over a pipeline that's being put in, stalling business, or it could have been as small as if I'm Councilman Carter's neighbor, if he barbecued every night and I was mad at the councilman for some reason, I could sue him for upending my air quality because of that barbecue every Friday night. Obviously, that's not a very business-friendly state. To my knowledge, I have no interest in suing the councilman, but if the Green Amendment would have come up, that would have been a possibility. So we're very glad that that did not pass. So overall, we took some major wins. We definitely took a loss at Senate Bill 137, but again, that was just a battle, certainly not the war. On behalf of my company and me, it was a privilege to represent you during the legislative session, and it will be a privilege to represent you going forward. And if you have any questions, I would be happy to field them.
Question
or
comment from the council?
Comment.
Missy,
thank you for
being
for us. I'm very, very happy.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I appreciate that.
Anyone else?
Great job.
Yes. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah, great job.
Thank you, Missy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
That'll move us to number one, approval of the agenda.
So move, Mayor.
We have a motion.
Second.
No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Neumeier?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number two, routine, regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council. It will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item upon request, that item may be removed from the routine or regular business and be considered separately. I would ask Mr. Lowe to briefly discuss C1.
Yes, Mayor, members of the Council. Item C1 is a renewal agreement with the United States Department of Energy and the City of Carlsbad for emergency service at the website. This agreement's been in place for several years. It looks good. It's our support of them in an emergency situation.
Questions or comments from Mr. Lowe? We have a motion to approve and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Neumeier?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number three, consider approval of temporary use application to allow for mobile sales, vending of shaved ice, on city property beside the Crosby Water Park and the Rayon ISLSA Plaza by the cold shoulder applicant Vanessa Rivera's owner. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. As stated, this is a request for permission from the city council to allow for mobile sales of shaved ice and food and related drinks on city property beside the Carlsbad Water Park and the Rayon San Jose Plaza. Maps are provided in your package showing the locations that the applicant has indicated where she wants to set up her mobile trailer. This is something that the council allowed the last calendar year. It's the same owner, the same business. She wants to set up there in the beach parking lot, kind of near the wall there where the water park is. And she also sets up in the Rayon San Jose Plaza there along San Jose Boulevard there in the parking lot. The planning department would recommend approval of this request with the following conditions. The applicant shall not disturb the peace with loudspeaker, megaphone, bell, music, or other disruptive noise. The applicant shall provide hours of operation to the planning department. Approval of this request would grant permission to the applicant to vend shaved ice and related food and drinks, non-alcoholic, on city-owned property in the area near the water park and Rayon San Jose Plaza. And the applicant shall provide the planning department with a surety bond with the city named.
Questions or comments from Mr. Patterson?
Here, may I ask. Is it two food trucks or is it just one that goes back and forth?
It's one that I believe goes back and forth.
Okay.
So she sets up in both places depending on where she thinks the business will be.
And on San Jose Plaza, is there a certain number of permanent ones, food trucks that are out there now? There's a couple now, isn't there?
I think that we've allowed four businesses, although one I don't know that's still in business. I think there's two others, and the area that she indicated is the same area that she asked for last year.
Thank you.
Further question from the council?
Mayor, Councilor, the cold shoulder, is that the beach? Is it going to park on the blacktop? Because I do rest in my shoe and grass.
It should be parking where she's indicated right there as you come in. The ramp that leads up to the water park from the parking lot, she's just down from that beside those parking spaces. That's where she's indicated, so that's where she needs to stick to. If she wants to change location, she'll have to come to the city and ask permission to do so.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Mayor, I would move for approval and ask that the cold shoulder make sure they maintain a clean area, pick up their trash, and be very diligent about tripping hazards and electrical hazards with extension cords, especially at the beach with wet children running around.
Do we have something?
Miss Flores, without a second?
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. There's no further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Waltershire.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Motion passed. Number four, consider approval of resolution 2023 that goes to the resolution requiring the removal and deletion of debris at 1401 North 8th Street by Kelvin and Karen Folsom. Ms. Boyette.
Good evening, Mayor and City Councilors. The property located at 1401 North 8th Street is in a residential neighborhood and it's near the intersection of 8th and Pierce Street. And there is a single family residence that appears to be on the property. The Eddy County Assessor's Office lists this property in care of Karen and Kevin Folsom as being the owners or having an interest in the property. And their address is listed as 303 Carroll Drive, Carlsbad, New Mexico. As you recall, this was brought to you last month, and council approved giving an extension to them for a brief amount of time due to a problem with the tenants that were on the property. And the owner appeared before me and explained that he was planning on having the tenant move out at the end of last month, and that he was making efforts to clean the property up already, but had to wait till the tenant was fully out to do that. At the time we requested the original resolution back on January 13th, the property was full of junk, trash, and debris. And Mr. Coulson assured you that he would make his efforts, his best efforts, to clean the property up, because at that time, this property represented an extreme hazard to firefighters and and it violated numerous city ordinances. So the resolution that I had prepared previously, which, if it's adopted by you, would have required him to clean the property up within 30 days of service of the resolution. And a certified letter to the effect of notifying Mr. Coulson of our potential action, or your potential action, excuse me, was sent to him by certified letter on January 6, 2022, and invited him to come to me, which he did. So he did appear, like I said, at the meeting on January 25th of 2022. I have provided you with updated photographs that indicates the condition of the property at this time. Those photographs were taken yesterday, February 21st, 2022. And as you can see, a great deal of cleanup has occurred. I stand for questions.
Do we have a representative for that property? Question or colleague from the council?
I went out, my wife and I on Sunday, we took a drive, we got here to go to A Street to look at this property. And, you know, we stood there and looked at the property, looked at the pictures from, what, a month ago? And it looked like it has been greatly improved. A lot of stuff is gone, although there's a lot of children's toys along the house. But if you look at other houses around, I think that house looks as good or better than most of the properties around it. That's what I perceive. Now, I don't know what code enforcement sees. I don't want to get into their deals, but there's not any motor homes or, you know, anything like that. It looks like a regular house on A Street. If you go down A Street, there's a house there that's all boarded up, all weeds. I think they need to go and visit that guy. But anyway, I think they did a good cleanup job. That's my opinion.
Good. Anyone else?
Do we need to retable this or not?
Pleasure of the council. There's. You can either approve the resolution or not.
Okay.
I mean, whatever is the pleasure of the council. For example, it could be a motion to approve the resolution and you could all vote no. Or you could say, I move to that the resolution is no longer needed. How would you like to word it?
I would make a motion that we remove this and in light of the work that has gone on, and simply ask Mr. Coulson to keep that up. And I made the motion to set it back for a month, and I would like to rescind that now and move to remove this altogether and appreciate his efforts.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? And call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number five, consider approval of resolution 2022-07, resolution requiring the removal of weeds and debris at 401 Hamilton Street, owner Gerardo and Mildred Garcia. That's where we are.
Thank you, Mayor, and members of the City Council. This property, commonly known as 401 Hamilton Street, is in a residential neighborhood near the intersection of National Parks Highway and Kircher. There appears to be a single family residence located on the property and a large lot. The Eddy County Assessor's Office lists Gerardo Garcia and Mildred Garcia as either owning or having an interest in this property. The assessor's records list their address as 401 Hamilton Street, Carlsbad, New Mexico. This property appears to be occupied, but has not been maintained. Code enforcement officers have been to the house. This property is a problem. There is junk, non-running vehicles, vehicle parts, scrap wood, weeds, and general debris scattered throughout the property. Letters were mailed to the owner, but the property remains out of compliance. Code enforcement spoke to the owner on March 2nd of 2021, and the owner reportedly said he did not get a letter. A letter from code enforcement was sent by certified mail, and it was signed for. The owner denied signing for the letter and wanted proof that he in fact signed. He also requested the names of whoever turned it in. The property has been inspected multiple times by code enforcement officers and a fire marshal. The most recent inspection was just done in 2022, and it found that the property remains out of compliance with all applicable codes. The junk, non-running vehicles, weeds, and debris remain on the property. The fire marshal found that this property represents an extreme fire hazard to firefighters and emergency personnel. A resolution has been prepared as part of your packet, which, if adopted, would require the owner to remove all ruins, rubbish, wreckage, or debris from the property within 30 days of service of the resolution. On February 7th of 2022, my office sent a certified letter to Gerardo and Nelda Garcia at the address on record at 401 Hamilton Street, and that letter is also part of the packet, and I invited them to attend this meeting to discuss the property.
Thanks. Question or comments from Ms. Boyer?
I also provided you with updated photographs of the property that were taken yesterday, February 21st, 2022.
Mr. Garcia is here. Would you like to address the council?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. First, I would like to thank for allowing me, Gerardo Garcia, yeah, to be born.
Gerardo, would you state your name for the record, please?
Gerardo Garcia. I would like to thank God for allowing me, Gerardo Garcia, to be born in this great nation of the United States of America. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to migrate from the great state of Texas, of which is my birth, and to migrate to the great state of New Mexico, which is the state I reside in, as a free and independent people and citizen. I thank you, City Council, for inviting me to speak on my behalf. On my property, because of some issues that some here may have on my property, my rights, and the laws of which some here feel have been violated or have an issue. I would like to bring into action the New Mexico State Constitution, the United States Constitution, and the Virginia Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And I would also like to bring into action a court case ruled by the Supreme Court, Marbury versus Madison, 5 U.S. 137, and to discuss my property.
Any questions for the council? For Mr. Garcia? Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Anyone else? Would you like to speak?
Yes, sir. My name is Jesus Garcia. I'm a constituent of Eddy County. I voted Republican. He voted Democrat. What do you do? My brother and I never had a problem. I traveled this country for the last 25 years. New Mexico tags, Texas tags. I get pulled over everywhere. Everywhere. And I have to stand my ground. Everywhere. I'm going around Eddy County and I've asked everybody, every kid, have you ever seen these books? Have you ever seen these books? Yeah. Would you like to look at them, sir? Yeah. Great books. I read a Pledge of Allegiance. I read a Pledge of Allegiance every day. I've been pulled over probably 500 or 600 times with two or three Mexicans and a white boy in a truck, maybe a couple of black guys. I've been harassed, intimidated, coerced more times than everybody in here. I swear. You know, I got pulled over in New Hampshire. I got pulled over in New Hampshire and the policeman said, he walked up to my car and it was really kind of funny. Because when he walked up to my car, I asked him to articulate his article and statute as to why he was harassing me. He said, I'm not harassing you. I said, that's not for you to decide, that's for a jury to decide. He turned around, got back in his car and left. I've used these penal codes, the criminal code, penal codes, I buy them all the time. Mostly because I have to defend my guys and make sure I bring them back home. I don't want them to become a victim of the system because somebody didn't know. So I put all my notes and all my little get-togethers and I gave them to my brother. I've read 15 constitutions. I tried to read the 3,838 pages of the New Mexico Constitution, but it read more like a declaration and not a constitution. I've never, ever seen anybody do what has happened here. There are some issues, and I'm not going to include him. I don't care what his property looks like. It's his property. I don't like him. I don't like him either. I feel like you guys. But that's his property. And every constitution I've ever read is clear on real property. And I left all the notes for you, those of you that have never researched it and probably don't know. May I ask 5 questions? How many constitutions is there? Can anybody answer that? 51. Which one is the 14th one? The United States Constitution. The 13 colonies got together, created government, created a constitution for the government. Does anybody know how many constitutions apply to the state of New Mexico? 3. The United States Constitution, the New Mexico Constitution, and the Virginia Constitution. It's the only constitution that says that it is constituted the 50 continental United States. I had to read it. I had to read it, and I had to read this. I've read this lots of times. I had to read this. I've read this lots of times. There's a preemption law in here that says no government or subdivision shall enact or enforce a law that makes any conduct covered by a code subject of criminal penalty. My brother has lived in his property for 33 years, and a resolution is going to uproot his entire life in 30 minutes. I just don't see how that's constitutional in any manner, in any state, or anywhere. I agree with you guys about him. I agree, and I've tried to help him, and I've helped him before, and that's not the issue. That's not the issue here. When I came here, God brought me here. God brought me here to make this clear. How cool is it that God looked at us and God said, the world needs one of you, each one of us. These are the reasons given for the Constitution. They contain and imply constraints as well as goals. It would be good for all faithful service of all representatives to remember all of them, to reform and a more perfect union, establish justice, not just you, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty. For this to be achieved, constraints on the government as well as the governed shall be applied equally. To believe otherwise is Spanish to German, ladies. I work my butt off. Y'all campaigned on fixing a lot of issues, and that's why I voted for. I don't know who I voted for. I voted straight ticket. It was just too wild. I believe in most of the laws. I believe in most of these laws passionately. I really do. And I believe that if you don't, okay, there's a law in these books that says that our
representatives should take care that they are not breaking the law to enforce the law. I'm just being that. There's nothing wrong with that. When I came to talk to my friend and he gave me some information and I heard him just talking and I asked him about it, he told me that there was more problems in y'all's administration than there was out in the streets. I didn't believe it until he gave me the statements I gave him to you. I shared all my notes and all my information, not all of it. I held some back. I'm not going to lie. I hate liars, cheaters, and thieves. I hate them in the worst ways. Anytime I left notes in there that I would suggest you read them yourselves. Don't take the word of nobody. Don't trust nobody. And I mean that with more, I have more passion about that than anything. I've taken my nephews, my cousins, my second cousins, one uncle, my brother, another brother, out to New Hampshire, to Pennsylvania, to Georgia, to Florida. I've taken them everywhere, and I brought every one of them back because I used this. Because I bought those in that state, and I read it. I took the time to make sure my boys came home. When I said that there's a law in here that says to make sure that you're not breaking the law, to enforce the law, I meant it. I meant it with 100% vigor. I did all this just off the top of my head. I mean, just off the top of my head. I've filed other works. I don't want to do that. You guys are our representatives. We voted for y'all. And I can say we because he voted Democrat and I voted Republican. And we didn't elect an attorney to represent us. We elected you guys. We expected y'all to know what I know about this and that. We expected it. And I am sure that when you read the statements from those four individuals, and you read the real property laws, you'll see that this needs to be tabled and all that research. And it doesn't take long, it really doesn't. I left you enough information that you shouldn't be taking advice from anybody. Because there's a law in here that says taking bad advice is against the law.
Now, do we have a question?
We do.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. What's the pleasure of the council?
Mayor, in light of the conversation we just had, or listened to, I would move that we proceed with
this.
We have a duty to protect the neighbors, and they have rights just the same as anyone else does. So. We need to get this cleaned up, and the neighborhood deserves better, and it's our duty, what we were elected to do that. So I move to move forward with this.
Is that a motion?
A second.
No second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest?
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Motion is approved. Number six, council committee reports. Does any council have any updates?
Mayor, we're working on our conference here in Carlsbad. We've seen that invitation and we're receiving our recent bags for our confirmation for our speakers, some of that's the governor and the hospital congresswoman.
What's the date again?
Sleep of the mile, maybe.
There you go. Just check on that. Anyone else? If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council?
Can I make one more statement? Short statement?
Would you keep it short?
I'll make it. I will. Would the council please consider giving my brother and I 60 days? It took him 33 years to do that.
I figured that if I help him, I could give him 60 days. There's a lot there. I went in there yesterday. I've been out working and I hadn't been there in a long time. Please consider giving him 60 days and I'll help him do it. I'll get it done.
The council has acted and we would have to go back and redo this and bring it before the council again for a new resolution to get back in there.
Mayor, should I go back? I can file a writ of mandamus at a superior court just to stay this.
Okay.
But is that plausible?
We could get with Mr. Patterson and work on bringing it back to the next council meeting.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Councilman.
I just would like to make the, you know, if he can show progress in the next 30 days and bring it for you, you guys always are yes. Very, very good. I mean, that's what I've seen.
Yeah. Then you have 30 days.
That's 33 years, man.
But we can get to Mr. Patterson up. Will you?
Okay. There's no further business. I will call number 7, Councilor Lisa, and I'm here.
Mayor, I make a motion to adjourn.
We have a motion.
Second.
No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Forrest.
Yes.
Ms. Niemeyer.
Yes.
Mr. Walsh.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Ms. Waters.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.